Yeah, I remember these are the songs of ascent. You cannot start in the seventh or eighth steps. You have to go through the first steps to go up. Right? I want to remind you that even in the book of Ezekiel, to go up to the house of the Lord, to the temple, there's a lot of steps to go up. Right? Not counting the height that you have to climb up to Jerusalem. And when you are there, you want to go up to the temple of the Lord. From the outside to just the outer court, there are seven steps for you to go up. And then from the outer court to the inner court, you have another eight steps to go up. And then when you think you're high enough, you're in the inner court, then you want to go into the temple itself, the house of the Lord, you have another 10 steps to climb. So there are a lot of steps. So just take it one step at a time. You know, this is what everybody tells you, right? If you think, it's so hard, well, people will tell you, Joseph, take it one step at a time. You know, you don't expect a child to learn everything within 1 year. Well, it takes a long time for us to mature in life. So, may the Lord encourage us. This song of ascents, that's why it's divided into five groups. Right, so when you're in the third group, we're fellowshipping about the third group, don't be frustrated if you don't experience yet so much in the third group. Right, but at least you know what is there in this third group. And doesn't mean that when you hear it, you see it, you read it, you're going to experience it right away, right? Like our brother shared, you cannot produce the tears. You're so in tears, what are you going to do? You're going to weep tomorrow, or you're going to go home tonight and weep? I don't think it is that easy, right? it's to help us to realize that the work of the Lord to be a co-laborer with God is not an easy job. Don't think that after you go to theological seminary and study there for 3 years, now you're a qualified co-worker of God. By no means. No. It is not that easy. It definitely is not that easy. Yeah. If you go to theological seminary, they don't teach you to be crucified. No. They don't teach you there to lower yourself and to sow in tears. You don't learn that in school, right? There are so many things and so many lessons in life you cannot learn in school. No. Right? So, you have to realize the disciples of the Lord, they spend 3.5 years, day in and day out, with the Lord. The Lord didn't teach them like a teacher, like a theologian, like a professor. But the Lord lived out that kind of a life before them. I don't think you would go to a theological seminary where the professor would tell the students, sit down and get the water down there and start to wash your feet. Have you ever been to a theological seminary or you go to University of Tübingen where a professor of theology will wash your feet? You think? You don't think so. I've never heard of such a theological seminary where the president of the school comes down and wash your feet. Have you? haven't. You haven't. But the Lord did that. The Lord did that. Such a wonderful example. You cannot learn that. But you see the Master is doing that, and I don't think Peter would ever forget that. And they saw the Lord crucified there on the cross, bearing all the suffering. And Peter thought he could do it. He said, Lord, I'll go with you to the cross. He thought it was easy. But you know, after so many years, Peter did go to the cross. All of the apostles of the Lord became martyrs. You think a theological seminary will teach you to be a martyr? They teach you to be a leader. They teach you how to raise money, how to preach, how to be a dynamic speaker. I don't think you will learn from theological seminary to be crucified. No? Have you attend a course to teach you to be crucified? Well, I don't think there is such a course offered there. Do you think? I don't believe so. But the disciples saw the Lord crucified on the cross. They saw the living of the Lord that is so righteous and yet so merciful. A life that is so holy and yet so lowly. Who can teach you to be like that? Right. It's quite different than today's way. This is the way of men. This is the way of religion. Look at all those high priests and Pharisees, the scribes. They're all so proud and so they're so high, they want to have a high position. And so they're up there and you're down there. Right. But our Lord was up there and he came down here and he became even lower than anybody else. Right. The ways of men are quite different. It is very different from the ways of the Lord. You know, Paul spoke one word that is so important for all of us to learn. He said, knowledge, what? Puffs up. Makes you proud. Just because you know so much, you graduated from Princeton or whatever, theological. I always mispronounce that word. Not cemetery, seminary. You better learn it correctly. Seminary. They will not teach you the way the Lord taught his disciples. No. Today, the Lord, as the Spirit dwells in you, and the Spirit will teach you. If you don't know the Spirit, you cannot live out this wonderful life of the Lord. So you serve according to what way? How do you serve the saints? You serve by being somebody up there? Or have you been a person who went through a lot of suffering? So, our Lord is quite different. Very, very different from the high priest, from that system of Judaism when he was on this earth. He was very different. He was very, very different. So, you want to be a co-laborer of the Lord? The disciples were fighting who is going to be the greatest. The Lord brought a little child and says, you want to be the greatest. you must be converted, be like a little child. Because if not, you cannot even enter into the kingdom, let alone being the greatest, okay? It's not easy. Why do you want to be the greatest? You want to be the greatest, Jesse?
Joseph.
I mean, Joseph. Sorry. You want to be the greatest. Why do you want to be the greatest? Actually, we are nothing. We are really nothing. Right? To be a co-laborer, to co-labor with the Lord is not an easy job. I don't think it is very easy. So being laborers together with God for His purpose. Coming back to Zion, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, so many returned to Zion. What are you going to do with so many people coming to Zion? You built the house of the Lord. To hold a meeting and preach to people is very easy, but to build up with all the living stones, to build up in oneness to be a spiritual house, and to become a holy priesthood, and then to offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. You think it is easy? Let us go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Just to read that verse once again, verse 5 and 6. You also as living stones. What are you?
Living stones.
Are you sure you're a living stone? Or are you just a layman listening, sitting down in the meeting and listening? Are you a student? Are you a, what? What are you? A living stone. What is a stone for? To throw away, to throw at people. I'm going to take a stone. I'm going to stone him. I'm going to take a living stone. A living stone. First of all, you have to be living, full of life. It's not a physical dead stone. The old temple was built with dead stones. But the New Jerusalem, the heavenly temple, is built with living stones. So now you have living stones. You know, maybe some of you are complaining the church life here. How many do you have? How many? 10, 20, 30. You mean to say, not 3,000? 300? John Yao, how many? 30? 30? What kind of a worker are you? 30?
Useless.
Useless. You're useless. You know, the Lord only gained 120. So 30 is not too bad. One-fourth of 120. But my point is this, with 30, are you able to build up this 30 in oneness together? You're capable to do that. What if the Lord gives you 300 tomorrow? Well, you're going to be so happy with 300. No, you have 900 problems. You think each one only had one problem? You're wrong. You're mistaken. Yeah, maybe 9,000. Then what are you going to do with... We cannot even build up 30 together in oneness so that it will be fitly framed together to become a habitation for the Lord. What are you going to do with 300? So it's not the number. No. It is building. Can you build them up? Why do you think the Lord in all the 3.5 years just put all of his attention to 11 people? Yeah. Put aside Judas. 11. Because this 11 is supposed to be the foundation stone of the New Jerusalem. If you don't have them, you have 11 people who just are fighting all the time and wanting to be the greatest, and 11 who, you know, each one doing his work and disobedient and fighting all the time, and then you can have 11,000 of those. What's the use? We have to see what we're doing. What is the Lord doing? Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. You just talk about fearing the Lord. What about who walk in his ways? What is the sign of a person who fears God? A person who walks in his ways. I know many people who love the Lord, but they don't walk in his ways. They walk in their own ways. They do each one what they like. I do what is right according to my own eyes, and you do what is right according to your own eyes, and you go your way, and he does your way. You know, I know a family, well, the wife goes to one church, the husband goes to another denomination, and the son goes to another group, and the second son went to another group. There are 4 in the families. They cannot even go to the same place. Oh, I almost fainted. Is that a testimony or is that a shame? I'm not criticizing, dear brothers and sisters. I'm weeping in my heart. I'm weeping in my heart. But yet, we thought it's normal. Is it normal? You tell me if it is normal. You be the judge. No, it's not normal. And you think the Lord is happy about that. Nobody asked the Lord, why is it that our whole family, you know, we cannot even go to the same place to worship God. As if, what? What kind of a God do you have? You think that's the way to fear God. And that's the way to labor with God. Is that a way? It is not the way. It is not the way. No, 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 no. Why is it the Bible here, especially in the third groups, talks about turning the captivity of Zion? Zion. God wants his kingdom. Zion. That's the place of God's choice. And where are the people in Zion? They're in captivity. They're all spread abroad. Who was Israel after year 70? It's gone. It disappears from the map. And where's God's people? They were all scattered throughout all the nations. Was it a glory to God? It definitely is not. Anyway, coming back to us, being the living stones. So don't complain. We only have 30 plus and sometimes 40. Well, build them up first. So. Otherwise, another 50 is added. What are you going to do? Right. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. So wonderful. A spiritual house meaning that you must be a person in spirit. Not walking according to the flesh. No, no, no. You're born again in spirit. Your spirit is alive today. So you have to learn to be a person walking by the spirit. Instead of becoming a fleshly Christian, walking according to the flesh, you cannot build up a group of people who are in the flesh. You cannot. It's a matter of time we're going to fight. It's a matter of time we're going to fall apart. You go your way and I go my way. I have my interest. You have your interest. My. At the end, the whole thing falls apart. Not possible. It's not possible. So, a spiritual house is built up by people who are in the Spirit. You have to learn to walk by the Spirit, like Galatians says. Paul says, walk by the Spirit. Then you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. And then you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, long-suffering, peace, joy, patience, self-control. You cannot even control yourself. How are we going to be built up together? How are we going to be built up together? It's impossible. Okay, then when you're being built up into a spiritual house, and what? There's a comma. And a holy priesthood. Oh my. A priesthood. It's easy to call each other brothers and sisters. Okay. But you're not just my brother. What is your function, brother? A priest. What does a priest do? You have to learn to handle all the wonderful spiritual sacrifices. You have to learn Christ is your burnt offering. What is that? Christ is your meal offering. How do you deal with that? And how many kinds of meal offerings are there? And how do you prepare that? And how do you offer it to God? What about the peace offering? Christ is our peace offering. You cannot enjoy Christ as the peace offering. You're fighting every day. No peace. We have to enjoy Christ as our peace. And then there's a sin offering and trespass offering. You have to know the difference. And then in the peace offering, you have the wave offering. You have the heave offering. And then there's the voluntary offering. And there's the vow involved. And then you have the drink offering. Brother, what are you again? A priest. And do you know what kind of a garment the priest put on? Do you have the priestly garment? A holy garment. Fine linen. John, are we producing this kind of a garment for all the priests in the house? In other words, no. You think it's easy? It's not easy. If you read in Ezekiel, the priests are not allowed to wear woolen clothings when they are serving. You know why? Because the priest is not allowed to sweat. If you are serving God and you are, you're sweating all the time, that means you are exerting your own effort. It is your own strength you're serving. That is a no-no for the priest. So, what are you going to do? Are we priesthood here? And it has to be a holy priesthood. Are we holy? So there's so many requirements here. To be a co-laborer with God, to serve in God's house, you think we just learn some doctrines and sometimes I don't know what to say. Because to come to this stage to be a co-laborer with God, it is not easy. It is definitely not easy. And then it says here, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. How do you do that? Just say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, you died for me. Is that offering spiritual sacrifice? No. You have to firstly, enjoy and experience such a wonderful sacrifice. Then, out of your experience, you can bring that wonderful experience to the Lord, or to offer up to God. So to be a co-laborer with God is not simple and definitely not easy. We have a lot of practical experiences to learn. There are a lot of things to learn. To serve the living God is definitely not a simple matter. Right? So that's why in the third category, here in the third group, being laborers together with God, first of all, Paul says, for me to live is Christ. So, hey, to live Christ, to be able to say, not I, but Christ. But if it's almost always I and me and myself, I, me and myself, you cannot serve God. But to say, no longer I, but Christ. And this is what it's meant here in Psalm 127. If the Lord does not build a house, then the builders build in vain. I think some people may be a little bit offended. What? Just the Lord, 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 Lord all the time? That's not what I meant. And that's not what a psalmist meant. Unless the Lord builds. You as a builder, you will be doing things in vain. That means that you have to learn to do everything by Christ. That's what Paul meant. For me to live is Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. It doesn't mean that I just go to sleep and let Christ do all the work there and I go to sleep. No, you know, what goes to sleep is not you, but your flesh and yourself goes to sleep. But your spirit follows the Lord. But your flesh, your old man is crucified with the Lord. The self, I have been crucified with Christ. To go to sleep means you died. Right? So are you active or are you not active? Oh my. It's not so simple, right? Even such a simple question is not so simple. It's just like the experience of Shulamite. The flesh sleeps, but the spirit is active, following the Lord in the spirit. Are we experiencing this or not experiencing this? So, we have a lot to learn. So, unless the Lord builds, it doesn't mean that you don't do anything anymore. Some people go, why did he, all the time he says, well, it's just the Lord. No. And definitely, that's not what it's meant. But the Lord cannot do anything if you are there in your flesh so active. No, you just cannot. So here, we have to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there have been so many meetings, meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. Listen, if I were the pastor and you are the people coming here for the Sunday morning service and I give you a message, okay, whatever message it is, after that we pray and, Lord bless the brothers and sisters, amen, and go home. What does God have? You tell me. God will be watching you. He will be saying, what about me? Where is my spiritual sacrifice that you're going to offer to me? Pastor got the money, you got the message, and God got nothing. Poor God. Poor God. Now, what are we going to do here in Zion? Are we going to do the same thing? You want to do the same thing? Right. So we need to arrive in this third category. We need to build God's house. We are here building a living spiritual house as a dwelling place for God. And we are here building God's kingdom to defeat God's enemies, to deal with that serpent, that ancient serpent, to cast him out and take the earth back for our Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thank you. I'm sorry, my Bible is just falling apart. Goodness. No, it's just not bind properly. Yeah. Lord Jesus. Right. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Yeah. We really need to see we have to take God's ways. Right. To fear God doesn't mean that you're afraid of God in such a way. But because you love God, you honor Him, you revere Him. You do not want to offend Him. You know, if I really love you, I will not offend you, would you? When the Lord Jesus came to this earth as the Son of the Father, do you think he is afraid of the Father all the time? Oh, and the Father came with a stick. You know, the German finger. And the Lord who sees the Father is always trembling and afraid of the Father. And that's fear of God. No, definitely not. But because of such a loving relationship, and you know the Father. You know, the more you know the living God, the more you will fear him. Not because he's fearful. Not just because he's a consuming fire. Of course, that too. But because you honor him. You love him. You revere him. That's why it's called a godly fear. With reverence, a godly fear. You respect him. He is God, you know. He's God. What do you do if you see President Obama? President Obama! You're going to do that to President Obama. You say, who is this crazy guy? Right? He's going to throw you out. Not like that. No, you show respect. It's the president of the USA. You show respect. Now you're dealing with the God who created the heavens and the earth, the Almighty God, the righteous God, the holy God, the God of glory. You know, in the Old Testament days, you cannot even see him. You see him, you die. You cannot live. You remember God told Moses, because Moses says, may I have a peek at your face? God says, no, sorry. Nobody can see me and live. The Lord was merciful. He said, you can see my back. Respect God. Respect him. When you come to the Word of God, respect the Word of God. Don't try to interpret it your own way with your own fallen thoughts. Don't do that. No. Anytime you don't understand, tell him, Lord, I don't understand. Enlighten me. Don't be so clever and smart. You remember the Lord asks many of the prophets, do you know what it means? Do you know? None of the prophets say, I know. Are you going to teach God? Are you going to let God teach you? You respect him. And the Lord loves those who fear him. Right? Our brother read a verse this morning in Psalm 137. God has no pleasure in the what? The power of the horse, nor in the legs of man. But you should read on. The next verse says, but he, what? He takes pleasure in what? In those who fear him. In those who fear him. Who trust in his mercy. We trust in his mercy. We need to be such people. Then your heart will be a heart that will walk in his ways. That means whatever God says, you say, amen, I'll do it. Walk in his ways. to walk in His ways. That's why today, in the church life, there are so many things we cannot do that other people have the liberty to do. Other people, other groups can do so many things. They can have this, they can have that, they have the liberty to do so many things, but what about us here? You may ask, especially young people, how come we don't do this in the church life? Why? Because God didn't want it. As simple as that, because He didn't want it. And if God says no, what are we going to say? No, exactly. So simple. So simple. If God says no and you says, well, Lord, you ask the second time, just like Balaam. You remember Balaam? God told him the first time, don't go. Clear. No. He went back to Balak and told Balak, well, God says no, but Balak came back with more money, more reward. He looked at that. So he told Balak, okay, yeah. Let me ask him again. That's not a good idea. If God says no the first time, don't go back and ask him the second time. Because if you go back and ask him the second time, he will tell you, go. But that going is going to be a judgment for you. He already said no. Why do you come to ask me? The second time he will say. So if I say no to you and you come to ask me the second time, I know in your heart you want to do it. So why should I say no again? I will just tell you, go ahead, do what you like. Why bother to ask me if you already decided in your heart what to do? So, blessed is the man who fears God, comma, who walks in His ways. If you don't fear Him, you can do anything you like, okay? You can do anything you like. Right. May the Lord have mercy on us. If we walk in His ways, you'll experience the Lord's blessing. It's not you, but it's His blessing. Right. Then the Lord will bless the church life. Whatever we do in the church life, because we are walking in the ways of the Lord, there will be blessings. And when there's blessing, don't think that it's because of you. No. No, definitely not. Don't try to steal God's glory. It's His mercy. Then we will experience being fruitful like a vine tree. And when the Lord blesses with much fruit, don't think it is your work. No, it's not your work. It is the Lord's blessing. And then we will have a lot of spiritual sons. Spiritual children. Don't think they are your children. No. And our young people will be full of life. Just like an olive tree, full of the oil, full of the olive oil, full of the Spirit. So wonderful. This is all the Lord's blessing, and it's all because the Lord loves Zion. And you and I are in Zion. It's exactly the place for God's blessing. For there, the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The blessing is in Zion, not because you're a special person, not because, oh, I'm so capable, not because I'm so great, not because we are, wow, so faithful. Faithful we should be, but it's not because of your faithfulness the blessing comes. You have to be faithful anyway. Because if you are not faithful, you're not going to be in Zion. But the Lord's blessing is for Zion, because for there the Lord commanded his blessings. And this will only happen if we all learn to be such co-laborers together with God. Because we are doing God's will. So if we are doing God's will, definitely God will bless because it's his will. But if you're doing your own thing, you can have thousands of people. Just see how long that will last. At the end, it becomes a dead work, no life. And it's a matter of time, it's going to fall apart. Right. So in this group of, oh, I'm sorry, I went over time. Let's finish this group tonight, okay? Yeah. Just a few more minutes. That's why in this group, the end, the third psalm of this group is the goodness of the Lord and his blessing towards Zion. If we are laboring together with God and Zion is built up, you can expect God's blessing on Zion. Praise the Lord. Amen. May the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. Amen. Amen.